4 weeks ago, we were anticipating Easter week, all the things that we would celebrate. We thought about the crowds of people that would join us and the opportunity that it brings to us, and then here we are. But here's the thing that you need to know. Here's the thing that you need to grab hold. None of this changes the power and the message of Easter. The next few days, we're going to be walking through the story in a way that really we probably wouldn't have had it not been for this virus. See, we're going to get an opportunity to look at each and every day. 8 days that changed everything. And we want you to find yourself in the story that we're going to share over the next 8 days. You're going to see all kinds of opportunities to connect to us. Some of it will be through social media. Some of it will be through the messages that you'll hear. Today begins that journey. 8 days of life change. 8 days that revolutionized everything. That gives us hope and purpose in the middle of a pandemic. 8 days. We hope you'll find yourself. We hope you'll find yourself joining us and find yourself in the story that we're going to share with you. Today's Palm Sunday. A lot of people wonder, what does Palm Sunday mean? What's the purpose of it? Well, Palm Sunday is really about the story beginning. It's about Jesus stepping into his mission, his purpose. Yes, he had been fulfilling that mission for the whole time he was here, but now he's starting the ball rolling towards the ultimate expression of his love that he's going to bring to us on the cross, and God's ultimate expression of love in the victory that we'll celebrate next week at Easter. We hope you'll join us each and every day and invite friends to come and be a part. There's a schedule available for you. We want you to follow it. Connect to us in as many ways as you possibly can, especially on Thursday and Friday. On Thursday and Friday, we're going to be bringing you live experiences that are going to really impact you in very special ways. And so we want to encourage you to be a part of that. And prepare the things that we'll share with you that you can prepare and join us and participate right where you are. Thank you for being the church. Because remember, the church isn't a building. It's not an address. It's not a location or a name on a sign. It's you. You're being the church as you're faithfully trusting God and as you're serving and helping others by sheltering and not doing the things that would cause anybody else harm. Thank you for being the church. So let's kick into this story because it's really important. If you've got a Bible, turn to Luke chapter 19. That's where we're going to hang out today. Luke chapter 19, we see this story beginning, these 8 days beginning with Palm Sunday. Now, let me give you a little background. Jesus had been teaching, and he's traveling about. He's doing the things that Jesus was doing, and he's on his way towards Jerusalem. He stops in an area called Jericho, and he's again teaching there. And by the way, for those of you who know the Bible, this is that period of time where Jesus meets this guy named Zacchaeus. You know, the little song, Zacchaeus was a wee little man. He climbed up in a sycamore tree, wanted to see the Lord, and the Lord go to him. A tax collector who Jesus changed his life. Well, that's where kind of where we are in the story. Zacchaeus, that expression and experience has happened. And now Jesus is beginning to make his way into the city. Now, people didn't understand. They fully didn't grasp who Jesus was because they were looking for something completely different than what Jesus was going to bring them. And maybe that's you today. Maybe you're looking for an outcome that God really wants to do something completely different in your life. Maybe God wants to do something unexpected for you. I believe that's true today. I believe somebody's eternity is going to change this morning. And you didn't expect it. You tuned in, you connected in, and you thought, well, I'll just watch this thing and I don't have anything else to do. But God is going to meet you right where you are. Know that. You're sitting in your living room. Maybe you hadn't got out of bed yet. Maybe you're trying to figure out how you're going to continue to navigate these difficult times. I want you to know that God wants to meet you right there today. And I think he wants to do something that you didn't even expect would happen today. And that's what was happening to the people. They had this expectation of who Jesus was. And Jesus wanted to do something completely different than that. Now he tells them this story, this parable. And it's really not one of the more popular parables. It's not a parable that we look at very often. But really what Jesus is doing with this simple little story earlier on in Luke 19, he's really kind of helping them understand that you're expecting me to come in and set up an earthly kingdom, and that's not who I am. And that's not what I'm going to do. He's beginning to foreshadow everything that is going to happen over the next 8 days. And then we pick up the story, Luke chapter 19 and verse 28, and we see what Jesus does. It says, after Jesus had said these things, he tells this parable, trying to help them understand it's not what you expect. After he had said these things, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. So he sets the ball in motion. He knows where he's going. It says that as he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt, a donkey, tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. So Jesus sets this whole thing in motion. He says, hey, go find this colt, bring it here, because we've got business. And he goes on. He says, if anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Say, the Lord needs it. And those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. I love that passage. Here's the thing I want you to know. When Jesus tells you something, you're going to find it just as he tells you. Not necessarily the way you think it's going to be, but exactly what he tells you. And what I want you to do during these difficult days is I want you to lean into what Jesus is telling you. He says, in this world, there's going to be trouble. You're going to have difficulties. But take heart, he says. Hang on, because I've had victory over all of that. I've overcome it. And he says, so go and find this colt. And they find it just as he told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, why are you untying the colt? Remember, Jesus said, they're gonna ask you, so tell them why you're untying it. And they replied, the Lord needs it. And they brought it to Jesus, and they threw down their cloaks, and they put him on the colt, and they put Jesus on the colt. And as he went along, people spread their cloaks on the ground. And when he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. They're reflecting back on all of the journey and all of the experiences and all of the things that they'd seen Jesus do. And they're shouting praise. As a matter of fact, they're quoting scripture that they knew from the Psalms. They say, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Again, their expectation is that this is the moment of victory for them. This is the moment when Jesus is going to assert his authority and everything is going to get fixed in the way they thought it should be fixed. And they're going back to their heritage. They're going back and they're reciting the Psalms. They're so excited. And some of the Pharisees in the crowd who were sitting and watching this said to Jesus, teacher, rebuke your disciples. Hey, you need to calm them down. I tell you, Jesus said, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. Now, let's just stop the story right there, because I think there's some valid and very important things that you need to grab hold of as we move through the next 8 days. Remember, Jesus is setting in motion what's going to happen over these days that we're going to look at, climaxing with the exclamation point of the resurrection at the end. But there's a big idea, a really big thing that you need to know. Jesus knew exactly where he was going, why he was going there, and what it was going to cost. Jesus knew exactly what was going to happen. None of this was going to surprise him. He knew what the mission was. He knew the purpose. He knew what it was going to cost. He knew that it was going to be painful and difficult. But he went anyway. See, that's what you got to grab a hold of. He went anyway, knowing the cost, knowing what was going to happen, knowing what it meant for him. He went to the city anyway. Aren't you glad? Last week, Tyler talked about that great story from Esther, where he talks about that she was created and born for such a time as this. Jesus knew this was his time. This was his mission. This was why he came. Even though he knew what it meant, he stepped into that. He came anyway. He went to the city. That's hope for you and I. That in spite of all the difficulties that we're facing, God is fully aware and he has a plan. Hang on to that. We see the plan beginning today. Now, let me take you back to that passage of scripture a little earlier. Luke 19:28 says, after Jesus had said this, he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem. I want you to notice this part. He went on ahead. Listen, Jesus wasn't hanging back. Jesus wasn't kind of just going with the flow. Jesus wasn't being led by anybody except the Father and the mission that he had been called to. Notice, Jesus went ahead. The others followed him. Jesus was taking the lead. And he's taking the lead today. And he'll take the lead for you. Also notice that it says after Jesus said this, he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem. He knew what was going to happen in Jerusalem. He could have gone another way. He could have gone to another place. He could have set aside. But no, he went to Jerusalem. And I love this part. In verse 34, it says, they replied, the Lord needs you. Remember when he said, say this to them if they ask, why are you untying the colt? And he said, tell them that the Lord needs it. You know what he's doing there? He's announcing to the city who he is and that he's coming. He didn't hide it. He didn't come in camouflaged. He didn't come in incognito. He doesn't sneak into the city. He announced he's coming. Tell them the Lord needs it. The Lord needs it. I'm coming. I'm going to ride it in. I'm coming to Jerusalem. He took the steps, and he'll take the steps that you need him to take for you. That's the hope we cling to. That's the power of the story. Find yourself in this story this week. Now, if we look back, he says that he wanted him to go to a village. And as you enter it, you're going to find a colt tied there. And now that's significant. That's important. A donkey, it's tied there. And I want you to notice that he says that that colt has never been ridden. I think in just these few verses, there's some important things that you and I can understand. I want you to see them. First of all, the donkey was born for Jesus' work. See, that donkey had never been ridden by anybody, had never been used for any other purpose except this one. See, that donkey had a sole purpose, and that was to bring Jesus to the city. Did you know that you have purpose? I know it's difficult in these days to find that purpose. I know you're sitting going, what's going on? Why is this happening? And how do I fit into the story? How do I fit into this? You have a purpose. You have a value. And God wants you to find that purpose in him. And then he wants you to flesh that purpose out, even though it may be difficult. I have never felt more purposeful than I feel now. In the middle of what will be in my lifetime, I hope, the most difficult thing that we ever experience. But I still have purpose, and so do you. You are the light of the world. And God has called you to shine that light, even from a distance. You have purpose. That donkey had purpose. And it was Jesus' work that he needed to follow through. There's a second thing about that donkey, and that it was a symbol of peace. I'm sure there was no shortage of stallions available for Jesus. There was no shortage of horses. There were no shortage of chariots. But Jesus chose a donkey. Why? Well, in that day, in that culture, the horse, the stallion, was a symbol of war. It was a symbol of a battle. But Jesus came in on a symbol of peace. Because Jesus came to bring us peace. That peace that passes understanding. I know for many of you right now, you need some peace. You're anxious. You're worried. You're tense. I pray that the peace of God that passes all understanding will invade your heart and life today. As you see the story of a Jesus who came in humility and sacrifice and purpose, bringing you and me peace. So he rides a donkey because it's that picture of peace. But he also, the donkey could only fulfill his purpose when he was untied. Notice that Jesus said, go into the city, you're going to find a donkey tied there. Untie it. Untie it. See, you and I have purpose. We were born to be the light of the world. We were born to impact others. We have a value. But many of us are tied down right now. We're restricted. And it's not by a virus. It's by the sin in our lives. See, what Jesus came to do was to set you and I free, to untie you from that sin and the debt that it imposes on your life. Jesus came to give you life, to set you free. And when you're free in Him, you're really free. You and I don't feel very free these days. Should I go there? Should I go out? Can I go and do this? What's being restricted in my life? Listen, regardless of what's happening in our world today, you can be free. You can be free in Christ. And that's what He came to give you, is that freedom. And then in that freedom, you find your purpose. You find your value. You find who you were created to be. Now, if we push a little further in the story, it says that some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, they shouted out to Jesus, "Hey, teacher." Now, I think it's interesting that they see Him as a teacher, because they don't know who He really is. Even the religious elite of the day had no clue who Jesus really was. They just saw Him as a teacher, a good man, but they didn't see Him as the Messiah and the Savior they'd been praying for. So they shout out at Him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." He said, "You need to tell them to shut up." What were the disciples doing? They were shouting praises. They were quoting scripture that they knew. "Blessed is the one who comes into the city." We're excited. We want everybody to know. And these Pharisees, these guys who had no clue, say, "You need to tell them to be quiet." Did you notice what Jesus said when we read it earlier? Jesus said to them, "I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones are going to cry out." The stones will cry out. See, you and I are in very difficult days, but we still have a voice. Now, some of us are using our voice appropriately. The truth is that many of you are using your voice inappropriately. We've cautioned you and shared with you and encouraged you. Make sure you're sharing good things as you spend time on the internet, as you share thoughts and ideas through social media, that it's appropriate what you're sharing, and that it's not misinformation, and that it's carefully thought about. You need to think before you push that button, before you send that text, before you send that idea or thought that you saw from somebody else. Because you and I have a voice. And we need to use our voice, especially this week. The world is listening to you and I, the ones that they look to as Christ followers, people who believe, people who are locked into something bigger than themselves. What are they hearing from us? Jesus says, if we sit silent, I'll use rocks. I've jokingly said, anybody can do what I can do, because Jesus said rocks can do what I can do. Rocks can cry out. But what are we sharing? Because you see, in these days, Satan wants to steal from things from you. He wants to squelch you. He wants to stifle you. He wants to quiet you. Let me give you some things that you need to know. Don't let these or any days, not just pandemic days, but any days, don't let these days do these things. First of all, don't let these days stop your praise. Don't let anything stop your praise. We have much to praise about. It may be ugly praise, but we have praise. Don't let anything stop it. Don't let these or any day stifle your joy. Joy, remember, is not happiness. We're not happy because we can't go to the movies or go to the beach or go to the stores or go do the things that we would normally do, gather in restaurants, that we can't celebrate Easter the way we're used to with Easter egg hunts and large gatherings. But happiness is not what we need to be expressing here. Joy is in spite of the struggles, in spite of that which has been imposed upon us, in spite of being sheltered, we can still be joyful. Don't let these or any days stifle your joy. Don't let these days sour your spirit. Jesus says, when I'm inside of you, I give you my spirit. And that spirit brings you gifts. The gift of love, which is expressed in joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, self-control, faithfulness, all of those are gifts. Don't let what's happening in our world today. Sour your spirit. Squelch what God wants to do in you. Don't let these days sabotage your smile. It's difficult to smile during these times, but we have much to smile about. You woke up this morning. You breathe life. You have an opportunity to impact others. We're gathering together as the church all over the world, hearing the most amazing story in all of history. Smile. If you're sitting with somebody right now, turn and look at them and smile. Smile at them because you have much. Don't let these days sabotage that smile. And then don't let these days soften your volume. You have a voice. Jesus said, if I stop these guys from talking, I just want you to know those rocks right there, they're going to start shouting. Because we have much to shout about. We have much to be excited about. But here's the big question for today. Do the stones have to shout or will we? Are we going to sit quiet or are we going to stand up? We have a story to tell the world, people. It's the greatest story ever told. It's a story of love and redemption and forgiveness and hope. We need to shout it out. Take the time that you spend on social media sharing misinformation and share the greatest story ever told. Because these 8 days changed everything and your life can be changed forever. Do you know that hope? Can you shout that message? If you can, shout. If you don't have that message in your own heart, we want to give you an opportunity today to discover. Discover who Jesus is and what it means for your life. Jesus said the stones are going to shout. Are we going to do it or are we going to let somebody else? Because the world is listening and the world needs to hear what you and I have to share. Now the story goes on. After Jesus said that, it says as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, Jesus wept. Says he wept over it. And he said, if you, even you, had only known in this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. Notice what's happening here. Jesus is showing the compassion he has and the reason why he was going to the city in the first place. Because he knew it was the only hope. It was the only way. Jesus shared with his disciples after this story, after this 8 days, before he ascended the Father, he said, I am the way, the truth, the life. Jesus fleshed that out in this moment. He knew that if he didn't go to the city, that there was no hope. And he wept over that city because he knew it was broken. When was the last time you wept for your city? When was the last time you wept for your world? Not because of a pandemic, but because of the brokenness and lostness that much of the world sits in today. When was the last time you cried for them? Your city, your neighbors, your family, your friends. What a great opportunity we have to step into this story. Jesus wept over the city. And then he said a very important thing. He says, your eyes are blinded by the whole purpose. You think I'm coming to bring you victory in the way you define it. I'm coming to do the unexpected for you. Jesus wants to do something unexpected in the next 8 days for you. And it can begin today. It can start right here. Right now, your life, regardless of a pandemic, regardless of isolation, regardless of what the next few weeks and months hold, your life can change forever today. Today. But see, we're so blinded by the things that we can control and what we expect things to be, instead of trusting Jesus, regardless of the outcome. Listen. I don't have any fear of a pandemic. Am I worried and anxious for you and for my family? And am I taking precautions? Absolutely. But I have no fear of a pandemic because I know who holds me. I know who holds my life in the palm of his hand. I know who has established the future of my life. I know who knows my outcomes. And it's Jesus. Why? because I put my faith and my trust in him. And when that happened, my eyes were opened and I no longer was chasing the things that I thought should be and started trusting him with my next. You have a next. His name is Jesus. And he will carry you through this and anything else that you face. I want you to grab this big idea as I close today. The next 8 days, beginning today, is about Jesus leading you to his solution, which is likely not the solution that you thought you wanted. It's leading you to his solution, not your solution. It's likely not even close to the solution that you thought you wanted or even solving the problem you thought you had. You and I think we have a pandemic problem. We don't. Yes, we do. But the bigger problem is that we're lost without Jesus. And we have no hope without him. You see, you're looking for the wrong answers. This past Wednesday at our midweek, and I hope you're connecting to our midweek. Don't forget, Thursday and Friday of this week are going to be amazing. You want to gather as many people as possible. We're going to share in communion together. Yes, from a distance on Thursday. We're going to look at the cross on Friday. It's going to be an amazing experience. Check the schedule. Make sure you connect to that. Set an alarm. You want to be a part. And this past week in our midweek, and those have been so good. I hope they've been helpful for you, but they've been good for me. I've enjoyed experiencing them. This last week, I said this thought to you, that Jesus is a better answer than the answer you're looking for. What are you looking for today? The end to a virus? A vaccine? Somebody to tell you it's okay to go to the movies or the beach again? You're looking for the stores to open? You're looking for the freedom that you think? Or are you looking for a bigger hope? A greater outcome? Something that you didn't even expect you would discover in the middle of all of this mess? If you're looking for that, his name is Jesus. And he wants to invite you to join him in the story. Find yourself who you were created to be in the most amazing story of Easter. Would you join me right now and would you just pray with me for a moment? Let's pray together. God, I can't even begin to know what people are experiencing and feeling right now. But I know there are thousands of people listening to this message who are sitting isolated, distant, far away from each other. But God, what is amazing to me is in the middle of all of that, you bring us together. Your church, not a building, not a name, people. Your church coming together in ways that we've never seen. I believe, God, that your name is being lifted across the world. I believe your son and his sacrifice is being made famous throughout not only our city, but cities across the globe. I think people are finally discovering the hope that only you can bring them. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the gift. Thank you that he went to the city. He didn't have to. He chose to. And he took the lead. And he announced he was coming, not in the way the people thought, but in the way you purposed for his life. And Father, if we'll find ourselves in your great love story, we'll find the hope we're looking for. We'll find the peace that we all desperately need. And we will discover joy in spite of our circumstances. Thank you for Jesus. It's because of Jesus that we celebrate these 8 days. In his name we pray. Amen.